How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done, for the things He has done.
Thank you, Al Ray. That remote worked. That gal can play that piano. I don't know if you noticed, but wow. Well, I want you to see the screen this morning, because I want you to look over who you're sitting by and answer this question. Because, go ahead and put it up, guys, because, here you go. Ooh, trick question. Trick question this morning. Who is the boss? Yep, I see your hand raised back there, and sir, and I'm just going to tell you, if you'll lie about that, you'll lie about a lot of things in your home. We all know mom's boss, right, over certain things. Amen. Thank you. But we're going to go a little deeper into the spiritual side of things this morning and say, who is the boss? And I want you to ask yourself that question as we go through, because no one likes to be bossed around. No one likes to have orders barked at their direction and have to follow them. No one likes to be constantly told what they can and what they cannot do. And if I cannot be in charge of a lot of things in my life, if there are a lot of things that I'm not in charge of, I think surely that I can be in charge of something, at least my own life. Surely. If I can't be in charge of anything else, I can be in charge of Billy. But then I pick up my Bible, and whether it is in the Old Testament or it's in the New Testament, I read passages of Scripture like Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 9. And the Bible says, "You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commandments and his decrees." And then I flip over to the New Testament in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And the Bible says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say?" Oh, could we answer that question? Why do you call me Lord and then not do what I say? And what these scriptures do is shoot me down and shoot down any idea that I'm in charge of anything. It reminds me, God is the boss. God is the boss. God is the boss of everything, and he's certainly the boss of me. And unless I have locked down that concept inside of my own mind, I cannot do what the heroes of faith did. And before we go any farther, let's look at exactly what they did in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell." How'd they fall? By what? By faith. By faith. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By what? Faith. The prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. By faith. The walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not die, did not perish with those who were disobedient. By faith. You see, unless you have it settled in your mind that God is the boss, then you will not always follow the rules when they don't make sense to you. Unless that you have God as the boss settled in your mind. Then you will not follow the rules that do not make sense to you. Notice verse 30 again. It says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell." How'd they fall? After the people marched around them for 7 days. Now, I have no problem obeying God as long as his rules make sense to me. As long as I can understand. If God and I are on the same page, if we see things the same way, then it's easy for me to do what he's asked me to do. The difficulty is when God asks me to do something that does not make sense to me. Amen? Anybody else? That's the difficult. Those are the times that I struggle doing what he has asked me to do. Take example verse 30. Folks, think how this sounds. Joshua had assembled behind him a fighting army, a militia, a military group to take on, to seize Jericho. This is Israel's first big fight in this promised land, and Joshua is hoping for this decisive victory over, and so his enemies, so that it may soften his enemies in the future. And he's getting these last minute instructions from God. And he hears something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to him. Remember, he's a military man. And listen to these instructions that he gets from the book of Joshua in the 6th chapter in the first 5 verses. Here's what it says. Now Jericho was tightly shut down because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, here we go. See, I have delivered Jericho to your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast. On the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. And the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. What did God tell him? He said, listen, Joshua, don't use any weapons. Don't use any weapons to knock down the walls of Jericho that are locked down really tight. Instead, let's use a little walking around. No, I tell you what, let's blow a trumpet. Let's use some trumpets and a whole bunch of shouting, and then the walls will come tumbling down. Now, let me tell you something. How can that make sense to you if you're Joshua standing there and you're a military person? And he tells this military person, no weapons. We're going to use trumpets and some dudes walking around 6 or 7 times. That's how these walls are going to come down. The only way you can interpret those instructions, the only way you can carry out those instructions, if you have settled in your mind that God is boss. It's the only way. Now let's fast forward to today. I don't know about you, but taxes take a whole big chunk of the money I think I make. And if I were self-employed, then it's a chunk and a half, right? And God says plainly to pay Caesar's what is Caesar's. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What makes sense to me is the more money I keep in my pocket, the more money that I'll have to spend on what I need and what I'd like to do with it. So do I fill my tax return out the way it should be filled out, or do I fudge a little bit here and there? And if I fudge, God says to me, he says to me very plainly, why do you call me Lord and then not do what I ask you to do? The truth is, I will not pay what I owe unless I've settled in my mind that God's the boss. I'll not do what I'm supposed to do unless I've settled in my mind that God is the boss. Let me give you another example. God tells us that what I do, I'm to do wholeheartedly. I'm to do with every ounce of energy that I have. I'm to do at the top level. I'm to be that guy every single day. That's the way God wants it. That I'm on top of my game. That doesn't mean I feel great all the time. That doesn't mean that. But that means I'm giving 100% of whatever it is I have to give every single day. God expects that. And when I go into work and the boss is not there, do I take a day off? There's no one here to see me. Or do I give 100% wholeheartedly, no relaxing, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do? Hey, let's call it like it is. There are people that goof off every day when the cat's away, the mice will play, something like that. But God tells us sternly, you need to work hard. You need to pour out your heart and soul into what you're doing. And the other employees are looking at you strangely. What are you doing? The boss is not here, and maybe they start calling you names in jest, and you have absolutely nothing to gain because you have no one to see what you've done, only the one that matters. You see, we tend to look to the right and to the left, and we tend to look up, but folks, we need to or look down, we need to look up, because he's watching our every move. It doesn't make a lot of sense to work in this fashion and wholeheartedly. It doesn't make a lot of sense to those who have not settled in their mind that God is the boss. You see, if I join with the rest of them, God asks me, why do I call him Lord? Lord, and do not do what he says. Secondly, unless you've settled in your mind that God is your boss, you will not become obedient. You will not be obedient when it becomes difficult. to be obedient. Notice verse 31. By the faith, this prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those. This verse tells me very plainly that those inside of the walls of Jericho were disobedient, but there was one in there that was not disobedient. Her name was Rahab, and she was obedient. Do you know how tough it is to be obedient when you're the only one being obedient? It's tough. When you hang around a group of people that are disobedient, it's very hard to be obedient. And this lady, she did it at a risk of her life. You know, the people of Jericho, if they would have discovered that she helped the Israelites, she would have died. She would have been killed. And she did it at this huge risk. How did she do it? She had to settle in her mind that God is the boss. Remember Peter? He was not quite as successful as Rahab. Three times when he was outnumbered by non-believers, three different occasions when he was put in the spot about his faith, he denied the Lord. It's tough to be obedient in difficult times unless you've locked down in your mind that God is the boss. It's easy to be obedient around the church. It's easy to be obedient around other obedient people. It's easy to be obedient around your prayer group or your group of people. It's difficult to be obedient in the house where you have an unbelieving spouse, a spouse that's an unbeliever. It's difficult to be obedient at the workplace when you're the only Christian there. Oh, it's easy at church. It's easy to go be obedient with your small group, but what about when you go home and you're the only Christian at your home, or when you go to work? The only way that you can be obedient is that you have locked down in your mind that God is the boss. If you haven't locked that down, then you will continue to struggle to be obedient in difficult situations. God is the boss. Remember the three little Jewish boys? The book of Daniel? They were not going to bow down to the image of the king, even at the expense of them being thrown in that furnace. They weren't going to do it. They made it very clear. Talk about a difficult situation. Those three little dudes, a difficult situation that they had locked in their mind that God is the boss. It was done. There was no second guessing. Have you done that this morning? Have you locked in your mind that regardless of what happens, God is the boss? You got to lock that away. You have to settle that in your own mind so that you can be obedient in a difficult situation, so you won't crumble in those situations. Lastly, if you've settled in your mind that God is boss, or if you haven't, then you'll not be able to love the unusual family of God like he tells us to. I go back to verse 31 and it talks about this prostitute. Because she was welcomed. She welcomed the spies and she was not killed because she was disobedient. Now the Old Testament spans some 4,000 years. And Billy, you're going to tell me this morning that this is the cream of the crop? That these are the instructors of our faith, that these are the ones that are head and shoulders above everybody else, and one of them's a harlot, a prostitute? Yep, I'm going to tell you that. And I'm going to tell you something else. Another one's a murderer. Did Moses kill an Egyptian? I think that's right. And I'm going to tell you that one of them lied to his father about his brother's birthright, or stole a birthright. God's family is a bunch of, what, idiots, odd people, crazy people. You need to do it like this because you're one of them. God's family is odd, isn't it? It's a bunch of odd folks. There are some people in this room and in this Bible that have colorful pasts, that have done some things they're not really, really proud of. I'm probably the only one, and I'll say amen. that we have some colorful past. But you know what? God's not interested in that. There's an old saying, God put eyes in the front of your head so you see where you're going, not where you've been. God's worried about your how accountable are you now? Where are you going now? Where are your eyes set up on now? What are you looking for now? He's not interested in your past. He's interested in knowing if you will obey him today. Will you do what he's asked you to do today? Right this moment? When you hear his voice, will you respond to him? When you hear him calling your name, will you respond to him? And he instructs us to love these crazy people. He instructs us to do that. These weirdos. Which I'm the leader of, I guess. And he instructs us to love those people. And how can you do that? How in the world can we love all of these crazy different people? Only if we've settled in our mind that God is the boss. And we see people through his lens and not ours. Let me tell you something. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you have not locked down that Jesus Christ, that God is the boss. Period. So I'll conclude with this. Are you struggling with what God has asked you to do? Maybe he's asked you to do something you don't understand. Maybe he's asking you to do something and you're not sure. And I believe the answer may be that you've never come to grips in your mind that God is the boss. And you need to come to grips in your own mind that God is the boss. There's something down deep, deep inside of you that says, I'm running this show. I know what's best. I can do this. I can make more money. I can make this thing work. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Give it up. You're spinning your wheels. I'm encouraging this morning for you to allow God to be the boss. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, some of you are going to have to walk down this aisle and give your life to Jesus. Some of you are going to have to do that this morning. You've been coming to church maybe for years and years and years, and you're just going to have to give it up. You're going to have to finally say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be the Lord of my life. And I want to ask you into my heart this morning. Some of you are going to have to do that. Some of you are going to have to walk down this aisle and you're going to have to follow in the commandment of baptism because you've never done that. Some of you are going to join this fellowship because it's time for you to do that. Some of you are going to drop a tithe into play because that's what God tells us to do. Some of you got some things that God wants you to do, whether that's teach a Sunday school class or join a mission group or do something on Sunday night or go out in this community and reach people. And God's asked you to do this for years and years and years, but the problem is you've never settled in your mind that God is the boss. And so you use the excuse of, I don't understand, I don't know how, I'm not equipped. Listen, God will equip you. He doesn't call equipped people, does he? Brother Denny, does he? I don't think he does. I think he calls people and then equips them, right? So what's your excuse? And then you can go back and say, do you call him Lord? Then are you doing what he's asking you to do? So I'll go back to the question that we started with. Who's the boss? Will you make him the boss of your life today? Father God, thank you for your word. Father, we pray this morning that we would make you the boss of our life, that we would remove ourselves Father, the only way that we can accept you is to have it settled in our mind that you're the boss. Father, the only way we can understand what you want to do in our lives is to settle in our mind that you're the boss. Father, the only way that we can love these crazy people in here is for us to settle in our mind that you're the boss. Father, the only way we can grow this congregation is to settle in our mind, Lord, that you are the boss. Father, the only way we're going to get a pastor in this place is to settle in our mind that you are the boss. It's the only way. And Father, if we have some in here this morning, may they not leave until they've settled that question. Who is the boss? May they settle it this morning. Father, may they turn it all over to you. And they say, Father, I don't have to understand because I know you're the boss. Father, we'll give you the honor and the glory today. Father, that we could set this community on its ear for you. Because in our mind, we know you're the boss. Take this time, Lord. Convict us. May we respond to your calling, whatever that is. Father, may we respond. And we're responding because we know that we know that we know you're the boss. Can we admit that this morning? It's in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning, this time of invitation? I invite you to the altar. I invite you to pray, move around this place. Whatever God calls you to do, I invite you to respond to what he's doing. Whatever that is, you move this morning. Sing with us.